Hey friends of Modus Rx Audio Experience, it's Haley here, the marketing extraordinaire at Modus Rx Physical Therapy. In today's podcast, we sit down with Packerland CrossFit's very own Derek. Derek is the owner of Packerland CrossFit in Green Bay and has some stellar fitness knowledge to share with you today. If you like what Derek has to say, be sure to shoot him an email at derek@packerlandcrossfit.com. Follow @Packerland_CrossFit on Instagram and give Packerland CrossFit's Facebook page a like. As always, be sure to check out our very own CrossFit e-guide that has very similar viewpoints as Derek. You can do this at bit.ly/bulletproofmybody. Don't forget to subscribe to the Modus Rx Audio Experience on any of your favorite podcast mediums. Thank you and enjoy the podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Modus Rx Audio Experience. I am very excited today to be joined by Derek from Packerland CrossFit. Derek, thanks so much for being here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually super excited to be here. I was looking forward to this. I love talking fitness, love talking wellness. So
good. And I'm excited to, you know, hear about your story, hear about Packerland, and hopefully learn as much as possible about how I can keep getting my butt in gear as we go here too. So, so why don't you start just as we always do, everybody's favorite question, right? Tell us a little bit more about you. This isn't a working interview or anything like that, but tell us a little bit more about you and your background, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been the owner of Packerland Cross for the last 4 years now. But I've been doing fitness my entire life, and it's always been a part of who I am, especially like when I played sports, played college football. But I love the training aspect of it more than anything. I love being able to push yourself in the gym. The relationships that you can build with people inside of the gym is just what really I gravitated towards. When I went to college, I was actually a psychology major, psychology and human services emphasis. Yep. I wanted to be a sports psychologist. I mean, I have like 6 or 7 books of sports psychology and the mind and all that stuff, because I've always wanted to be a coach.
Sure.
My dream actually growing up was to be like in Remember the Titans, go to a school that's, you know, maybe it's even an inner city school or something like that, where I could use sports and coaching to change kids' lives and help them be the fullest version of themselves. And then when I got to college, I learned about psychology, and I'm like, oh, I can do this instead. And I can be a sports psychologist and really help out. And that was my goal. Got accepted into graduate school for that. And then I had some complications at home with my dad. My dad passed away, and it made me put that on hold for a little bit. And I ended up moving back to Green Bay. And that's where, you know, CrossFit really took over, where I wanted to be involved. I wanted to coach it. I found it, and that was about 7 years ago now. And then from there, I was like, this is what I want to do. This is my calling. This is where I want to coach. This is where I can make the biggest impact with people. And at the time, I was working as a social worker as well. So I've always been in the field of wanting to help people achieve, you know, the best, and then, you know, get the best life for them and do what I can. So 4 years ago, I made the leap and just put in my 2-week notice. And was like, I'm going to start a gym. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know where I'm going to start, but you know what? It's just what I need to do. So, one thing led to another. And then a month or two later, I was working side jobs, try to make ends meet. And then all of a sudden I was putting together my business plan. And I had some, you know, investors come up, more importantly, my mom really helped out. And
yeah.
So it just, all of a sudden everything just opened up, and here we are today. And I couldn't be more happier with the risk and that I took just to put in my 2-week notice just to do it. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. And I obviously from afar, you know, I don't know the ins and outs and the guts and the glory of it all, but kind of watching from afar how you guys went through that was really cool, right? I mean, regardless of what space you had or resources you had, the one thing that I can always tell, and of course I knew, you know, Ty as well, but the passion and doing things genuinely the right way for what you believed in, and the self-belief obviously was there, you know. And so
Ty,
I'm excited to hear about, you know, how the 4 years have gone and where you're at, because something and how you're going about it, I hope is always rewarded, you know, in life.
Yeah. One thing that was crazy with Ty and Hill, they were amazing to start it with, because we started in their garage, actually.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. With three barbells, four stall mats or 4x6. We had five of those, and then one little rig set up, and we were taking clients in their garage before we actually opened up our space. And it was literally bullstrap, whatever.
Sure.
It was just wild. It was awesome. And Ty and Hillary were, you know, it was just amazing. It was kind of crappy at the time, because obviously we had like six people and it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
We had six members at the time. But Ty and Hillary were monumental to where we are today. And, you know, they're no longer in the business.
Right.
They went back to Minneapolis, but cannot thank them enough for everything they did.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, you know, it's the energy that you brought to it and the quality of the product, obviously, at the end of the day, that's hopefully sure. why you're at where you're at. And very mm-hmm. similar in our business, where it was just hang a shingle and, you know, treat out of a room in a fitness area and see who's going to kind of believe in this thing. Right. And
yeah.
So it's awesome to see. Now, obviously with the background and the psychology and wanting to coach and help, then what kind of led you more into CrossFit or just having your own gym? What do you think was the big differentiator or difference maker in that decision for you?
I think it was when I got done playing football. You know, I was going to the gym, but I wasn't doing anything.
Sure.
I was going and I was doing bicep curls and bench press and all that cool stuff. But it just wasn't fulfilling anymore. And then when I found CrossFit, it was actually in an Anytime Fitness, and this dude by the name of Elvis Kransky, shout out to Elvis, because he's awesome. I saw him doing some crazy stuff on the side, and I was like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, what is this? And I just met him, right? And he goes, oh, it's CrossFit, you know? And he's explaining it to me. And I'm like, I've never heard of CrossFit. He goes, just go home and Google it. Right. So I went and Googled it, came back. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, this is some crazy stuff what I saw online, you know, with Rich Froning and all that. And he goes, well, I got to set up in my garage if you just want to come over and do it there. And I was like, pump the brakes, man. Like, I don't want to go back to your house just yet. You know, I hardly even know you. So I ended up working out in Anytime Fitness doing CrossFit. And then finally, you know, we became good buddies and went back to his garage, started working out there. And then I found CrossFit Stevens Point. And then I realized that it's actually a community feel, and that's what changed. I met Alex Rolfs, who now bought CrossFit Stevens Point, and now it's turned into Baseline Performance. He was a huge influence on all of this. When I saw, you know, was able to talk to him, and he took me under his wing for coaching, because as soon as I walked in and I saw him coaching, I was like, oh man, that is what I want to do. That's it. He sort of mentored me and showed me, you know, how to do it correctly. And, you know, some of the same philosophies that I have today were from him. And it's just been from that point on, that's when I was like, I really want to help change lives. And this, I think, is an avenue I can do it. Cause I think that first class I was in, there was a lady there, I forget her name, but she, we were doing cleans, and she hit like 10 pounds over what she's ever hit before. And it just was so easy. And she was like, so excited. And she celebrated with Rolfs. And it was just like that snapshot was like, oh man, it's just about so much more than just, you know, losing weight and for aesthetics. It's just this whole spectrum of fitness that you can really help bring positivity, you know, not only into their life, but, you know, just for their mental, mental health. It's just amazing what the power of CrossFit. So that's when I was like, I'm sold. This is what I need to do.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. So, you know, going back then to when you started 4 years ago till now, what do you think have been some of the either personal or business-wise big evolutions or learning lessons for you? And, you know, how do you think that's affected the community that you've built there?
Yeah. The biggest learning lesson is, you know, you want to appeal to as many people as possible, right? So when you start, you have all these big ideas when we're writing out our business plan, all that stuff, what we wanted to be. But then it gets to the point that you just have to be you. You have to be what you have to project, you know, your vision into your everyday like life, I guess, inside of the gym, right? What you want the culture to be. And that's when, you know, it took the longest time for me, you know, to step down from a lot of responsibilities to let other people grab the reins and coach. So that was a huge learning curve. Like, just have to trust the people that you're bringing in that are also going to spread the same message to create that community sense. And that's one thing that I still struggle with a little bit. I'm working on us taking more steps back and trying to look at a more broad range, you know, of where we want the gym to go and you know, how we want it to run. Yeah. So that's what I'm constantly working on every single day. But I think that was the biggest learning curve for myself. And then really understanding that CrossFit gyms across the spectrum, since they don't follow an individual, you know, we do this every day or that every day, it's kind of like up in the air, kind of like the wild west, really. Mm-hmm. So it's just finding your niche and like where you fit in and what your overall goal is to help as many people as possible. And I think that's what, you know, over these last 4 years has been something we're constantly working on, you know. And now my other business partner and wife, who I love very much, is also part of the owning the business. And, you know, that's just what we try to practice every single day. Like, this is who we are, which is we want to help as many people as possible, but do it correctly and do it in a sense of we want people to come back here and make it be the best hour of their day. Right. You know? Right. So that's where we're at right now. And we're continuing to try to push that message.
Right. I love it. Obviously I have a great deal of knowledge in CrossFit and kind of the athletes and the demands of the sport and everything else. But I feel like, you know, I'm often fighting some of these misconceptions and these myths, right? Because I'm on the side of, we need to be getting fit. We need to be focusing on growth and mental health and not being so reactionary in our medical system, right? Being more proactive and preventative. So, but for somebody that's, you know, not working with CrossFitters every day like me, or somebody that's in the gym like you, what would you tell somebody who doesn't really have a good understanding of what it is? What's the differentiator, and why might they want to join a gym like yours?
I think the biggest factor is like what they see on TV and what they see on Google is not what CrossFit is, right? That's the top 1%. Yep. Now, to piggyback off of that, there's a lot of, I think it's the old school mindset of a lot of CrossFit gyms where it's like they want to come in and they just want to beat you down every single day. You know, they want you to leave sore. You got to live sore. You got to rip your hands. You got to do all that stuff. And when we opened, our biggest philosophy was we want to take a actual method style approach, like an actual philosophy where we're trying to get people, you know, to feel good, to, you know, be happy, healthy, and hungry, all that underneath that. And to do that, we focus on just what you said, like our prehab before we start, like our general warm-up. We're going to make sure that we do that every single day. And it's going to be, you know, I have a saying that I tell my coaches and we preach to our members. It's little muscles are muscles too. And if we're not working on them, then it's like building a house. Would you rather build a house on dirt or build it on concrete?
Yep.
Right? So if you can build that house up on that dirt, and you can get all these PRs you want, but eventually it's going to come crashing down and you have nothing to fall back on. Whereas if I build it on concrete, you can build it up and may have an injury that brings you back down, but at least you're falling on this concrete where you can rebuild easier, you know? And that's the approach that we took. And that's the approach that we continue to take to this day. And we make sure that, you know, our goal is not to beat you down and make you sore every single day. There will be days like that because that's CrossFit.
Oh, sure.
But it's more like, I try to, especially people come to the gym, I explain it because safety is our biggest concern. And I try to explain it as like a football week, right? They only play a game a week and that's it. That's their competing. They go all out. They do all that. But their other parts of the week are, you know, a recovery day, one or two of them thrown in there. Another one's a walkthrough. Another one's maybe you have practice, or we like to call it training, or maybe you have one or two of those and you only have that one game in the week. So when you look at it that way, as far as the training mindset and trying to get people feeling good and keep on making progress, yep, we have to make sure we're adding in those rest days. We have to make sure we're working on skills as opposed to trying to get you to sweat and get your heart rate going crazy all the time and high, high, high intensity. And we also need days that are just like training, you know, like we're just working on aerobic aerobic capacity or just working on sweating, breathing, moving without heavy weights. And then we also have that one day a week where you can go hard and, you know, look at the scoreboard and challenge yourself in that way. Right. So that's what we try to push out there and make sure that people understand, you know, CrossFit isn't this, we're going to rip your hands and break your back. We are going to make sure that you're growing, right, you know, in the gym and making progress.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, that's, I love that. And I think little PSA on my end, you know, there's so much solid research out there in terms of injury incidents and rate of injuries and stuff like that. And the thing that I come back to time and time, you know, there's a lot of myths out there, right? Like running's bad for knees, CrossFit's bad for your shoulders. You know, basketball's bad for your ankles. And it's like, well, it's not the thing, right? It's not the thing that's bad. Like CrossFit's not bad. Mm-hmm. Running's not bad. Basketball's not bad. It's the fact of the physical preparedness, right? And the ability for you to handle what that thing is asking of you. And it sounds like, obviously, in your case, you're building people up to that spot, right? Right. You're making sure that the capacity is there. You always got to push it a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't grow. But you're understanding that it's there's got to be a relative capability or capacity to do what you're about to do.
Yeah.
And that's my PSA for anybody listening. And I do the same thing with, it's like any sport, any hobby, mm-hmm. any physical activity, it's never the thing, right? It's never the thing. The thing itself is not bad. CrossFit's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that there's a way that you probably weren't physically prepared for what you were about to do. And it maybe could have been done a little bit, you know, differently or more programmed or more progressive, you know, but so that's kind of my PSA and why I continue to just love what gyms like you are doing, because we gotta break this cycle that we're in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work, you know, don't do this because it's bad, regardless of what it is not the answer. You know, it's not the answer for people. So
to piggyback off of that, actually, I mean, way we start people, you said progressively, we start everybody one-on-one to do just what you're saying.
Okay.
You know, we see, we have a lot of people in our gym that have never done fitness in their life. And now they've been with us for, you know, for 2 years, 3 years, a year, 6 months, you know, they continue to stay with us because we start one-on-one and we ease them into it. You know, through that, our one-on-one sessions, I do assessments of their shoulders and their hips to make sure that this is safe and that's safe. You know, I communicate with our coaches on where they're at when they get into classes. Their first class, I'm there shadowing with them to help them ease themselves through. We follow up every single week, you know, see how they're doing, make sure we're always checking in. I mean, that's just a huge, huge factor. So exactly what you said, like, it's not the CrossFit's bad. If CrossFit was bad, it wouldn't be to where it's at right now. Right. You know, it's an effective program if it is done correctly. And that's we're fighting that battle all the time.
Sure.
We want people to know that, you know, the way that we run it, it's safe. It's effective. And we were to make sure that safety is number one, and we're going to start you on your path to whatever your goals are.
Yep. Yep. Talk about what's one of the number one things that I hear and even personally I deal with is compliance, right? Sustainability with exercise or with a program. Talk to me a little bit about how, you know, your gym and CrossFit in general helps combat that.
Oh, to get people consistency?
Yeah.
Well, what we do a lot is our community, number one. Like the people that are in our gym are just amazing, amazing humans. I mean, somebody that walks in, even we have drop-ins. I mean, that our members are the first people to go up to them and shake their hand and ask them where they're from and ask them how they're doing. Like, that's awesome. Mm. Like, as humans from a psychology background that I have, we are creatures that need social interaction, you know, a feeling of being a part of something larger than ourselves. So that's number one. Our community is amazing.
Yep.
Number two is what I do with our coaches. Like, I tell them all the time, it's not about how much you know, but it's a matter of how you say it, right? And how it sticks with people. So we have, as coaches, I have two big rules in the class. Number one is you call everybody by their first name at least 3 times during class. And that can be just saying how you're doing. It can be giving them a cue of something of a positive nature, but something to let them know that they're seen, that they're heard, that they're a part of this, right? Nobody's going to be left out.
Right.
And the second thing is making sure that when we're running classes, safety is the number one priority. So when we're warming up, when we're going through all this stuff, we have eyes on every single person to make sure before we start a workout that everybody has, they're at the level of where they're at to get better, and we're not overreaching to cause an injury. Like I said, safety is at the forefront of what we do. So that's how we try to map out our classes, and that's how we make sure that everybody is a part of this. And I think with that, it just is a safe, I guess it's like a safe spot. When you come in there, like, you don't feel like you're stupid because you don't know how to do this or don't know how to do that.
Sure.
Like, all start from this position, and we're here to coach you and help you get better. And that's the mindset of all of us. Yep. You know, leave your ego at the door. That's what I like to say too. Leave it at the door, because CrossFit will humble you. Mm-hmm. You know, what we do is humbling for even the most experienced athletes that do this sport, which we're not doing the sport. We're doing it for fun and we're doing it for fitness, but sure, it's always going to be humbling. There's always something to work on. So I would say building consistency just starts with community, making sure they're a part of something, you know, larger themselves, you know, leaving the ego at the door and letting, you know, we all start from somewhere. And this is all we're trying to do is get better. And I think that, you know, allows people to see the progress that they're making. Okay. And that keeps them coming back.
That's awesome. That's really good. Taking a little bit of more of a selfish turn on things, what are some things that, you know, is rehab practitioners, because again, speaking about humility and being humble, I mean, unfortunately, there are some people in health and wellness, more medical, that, you know, they might not understand like a movement pattern or a lift, or obviously strength and conditioning, and some of these movements are, you know, they're dynamic and they need to be coached, and it's a science, right? I mean, it's not, not just winging it. So what are some things that you think a rehab practitioner should know when working with somebody that comes in with a CrossFit background and has an injury? You know, what do you think are some big things that they should know, or that they should be able to kind of assess, I guess would be a better way of looking at it?
Yeah. So I think that's a great question too. I think what they should really look into is they need to ask questions about the gym in the sense of like, what are you doing for a warm up?
Okay.
You know, what are the things that the coaches are talking to you about that is helping prepare you for these movements? Right. Because I mean, there's some CrossFit gyms that love CrossFit, but they don't do those. I mean, like I said, it's the old school mindset of we're just going to kick your ass every single day.
Sure.
You know? So I think asking those questions about how we run a class is going to be essential to know that, you know, we don't promote, you know, one rep maxes all the time, or, yeah, you know, intensity every single day. It's all about the messages that we're talking about that I think make a huge difference on actually what's happening. Cause you know, sometimes it can be, and thank goodness it hasn't happened, you know, at our gym, but there can be some freak accidents.
Oh yeah.
You know, that you can't avoid, because at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, if you're doing fitness, you know, yes, we have a lot more dangerous movements. We have, you know, a lot more dynamic movements, and there's always a chance for injury. At the end of the day, it all depends on, and when you're doing something like that, if you're not taught it correctly and actually doing progressions leading up to that point, it's gonna, like I said, the house is gonna fall down, right? So it's just making sure that when you're asking this, an athlete that comes into, you know, your place of practice, that you're not just judging, you're just asking questions about where they're going to, and asking questions about how it's run. Because I mean, if they can't answer those questions, you know, then yeah, I would say don't go to that gym anymore. I would recommend someplace different, because they don't care about the actual science, or they don't care about what actually, you know, is going on
right
in the body, you know, right, about what they're talking about. So I think that's a big key for a lot of practitioners, just asking questions about how they're run. What are you doing for warm-ups? You know, are they actually teaching movements? Are they talking about, you know, progressions? Number one, are they talking about scaling workouts back for you to make sure to meet you where you're at? Like, those four questions I think need to be asked to make sure they're making a proper assessment of whether it's like negligence, they got hurt because the place didn't care, or, you know, it was just an accident, or maybe it was a pre-exposed injury that when we go through our individual assessments that I try to look at and ask them these questions, so we make sure we're not overdoing it.
Right.
You know, because it wasn't this pre-existing injury that maybe they didn't even know about, or an imbalance of some sort that was there that maybe could have caused this. And it was something that might've come up either way, no matter what program they were doing. So, and then when they come back with that, have an open communication, because I leave my door open for PTs and stuff to reach out to me. And I always tell the athlete if they need to go see a PT or something like that, to have them reach out to me, you know, about their rehab exercises. Yep. And always I tell them, if they give you a printout of your rehab exercises, bring it so yep. I can make sure you're doing it when we do our warmups and stuff like that, because you got to be doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's also a big key in making sure we don't know everything, right? I didn't go to school to be a PT. You know, I'm a YouTube, I call it a YouTube hero. Yeah, I look up this stuff and I try to do as best as I can. And I try to talk as many PTs as I can.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we don't know everything. And it's being comfortable with that, not knowing everything, and referring people out to people who do, to make sure they get the care that they need if there's something nagging or feeling wrong. Right. You know, so.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's great again, because there's, unfortunately, there's some, you know, and I don't want to sit here and turn this into a bash session or anything, but I know strength and conditioning and personal trainers and CrossFit coaches, obviously, that probably understand movement, how to assess it, how to train it, how to progress it better than some of us rehab practitioners, which is unfortunate because we're supposed to be the movement experts. But I don't always think you need to have a CrossFit level one certification either to be able to help some of these people. I think if you can ask some of those important questions, it's really helpful. So those are good. Those are perfect. The other thing too, just going back to getting injured and these injuries in any sport, I think that is a huge thing, is the simplicity of how many times are people going 0 to 60, right? And it's just like nervous system's not prepped, tissues aren't prepped. I mean, you know, it's as simple as, what the heck does this person got to be doing to get from A to Z so that they can get to that spot? And that's very, very common in our four walls. So I appreciate that sentiment on the warm-up aspect. Kind of going down the path of, what practitioners should be looking for and things like that if they're going to work with a CrossFit athlete. I think going back to some of the things that you guys are preaching and practicing, or some of the things that the gym members should be focusing on. Obviously, in the gym, we talk a lot about working out, CrossFit, getting fit, getting stronger, hitting PRs, things like that. On your end, though, in terms of becoming a completely well-rounded, healthy human being, what are some of the things that you think at least the members in your gym are maybe underrating or underestimating in terms of their health, and how's that affecting their health and or their performance in the gym?
I think one thing that, especially when they start CrossFit, is understanding the importance of rest days on your body. Yep. And getting outside of the gym, like using the reason why we come in the gym is to crush it outside of the gym.
Yeah.
You know, so some people get into the zone of like, I need to be there. I got to work out. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I was stuck in that place for a while too, but it just wears on you. It drags you down. It turns into what a positive can be to a negative. So for example, like using your fitness to go on a hike, right? Like maybe you couldn't do it before. Like you couldn't go on this hike to see the sunset, and now you can. And the endorphins of seeing that and being out there in nature are going to be way more beneficial than, you know, always being in the gym to try to crush a PR.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's what we're about. Mental health to me is so important. And that's the reason why I think working out is so important, because it helps out in all areas of your life. And, you know, you go up to see that, you're in a better mood. And then when you're in a better mood, when you go to work, you want to do more work. And when you do more work, you get a promotion. Now you're able to work less. Now you're able to spend more time with your family. Right. Like it just turns into this tumbleweed effect. But it all started because you went to the gym, you know, even if it's 3 days a week, you know, to be able to do this thing outside of the gym to bring you that much joy and that much gratification, it'll help out in all other areas. And that's what I try to tell people all the time. Not saying that they're not doing it, but we also have people, when they find CrossFit, it turns into like a huge passion. Like the joke is, first rule of CrossFit, always talk about CrossFit, right? So I just try to tell them all the time, take those rest days, you know, do stuff outside of the gym, bike rides. For example, myself, I joined MMA.
Oh,
and it was awesome. It was the best. Before I hurt my knee, it was like I was doing it for a few months at Titletown. Shout out Titletown MMA.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was so much fun. And, you know, just doing different things, it just it will help expand your life. And that's the reason why we do it. That's the reason why we do CrossFit, is to do other things out in the real world. So that's what I try to preach all the time. Now, a lot of people just love CrossFit so much, they keep coming back, which is fine. You know, 6 days a week is good. But then I try to tell them the load management. This is how we're going to do it. Like, I don't want you to do this. Don't want you to do that. Still come in, but we're going to make sure we monitor that.
Yeah.
And that comes with the coaching, and my coaches have done a phenomenal job. They're awesome. So
that's awesome. The other thing that I'll plug in there too, kind of going hand in hand with the recovery days, is going to be just, I feel like I'm talking more and more to people about the importance of sleep. Ooh. And that's going to go back in recovery. Right. Yeah. And, these Whoop bands, I mean, I don't know what people think of them, or, you know, what you think of them, but I think it's in some way, shape or form, at least it's bringing some conversation to the table about the importance of, you know, recovery and sleep and the things you do outside of the gym, being able to help you in the gym. And, you know, the way I look at it is you got the old school scale, you know, where you put weight on one, it's going to tip the other way. I mean, so many of us, because of working out, stress, anxiety, all this stuff, you know, we're constantly burning the oil hot on one end. And if we're not, you know, one of the only true ways to really bring that back to balance is sleep. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you think about how many of us suck at sleep and it's a dangerous combination. Right. So I've gotten to the point now where I'm questioning how many of the things I see don't even, I mean, they're still probably going to have some mechanical aspect to it. Don't get me wrong, but would they even be there in the first place if there was a little bit more of that balance with sleep and recovery? And is sleep kind of like the, you know, the new exercise? I mean, you're never going to beat exercise probably, but sleep might be like 1B. If exercise is 1A,
I think so too.
Be like 1B.
Yep. So another thing to piggyback off of that too, it's not only sleep, the nutrition side of just supplements. I can't stand always people ask me about supplements and like, what should I be taking? What should I be doing? And I just say, the only supplement I think that is necessary for anybody is protein, you know, just making sure you're always keeping those levels maintained throughout the day. And then throughout the week, throughout the month, because that's going to be, I think it moves the needle a lot in recovery.
Yep.
And that's I call that the long-term, macronutrient. But I mean, fats and carbs, you can definitely sway back and forth, but if you're not consistent on protein, I mean, you're not going to see the gains that you want to, you know? So I think that aspect of it, the sleep, the nutrition, I only get you for an hour a day, right? It's what you're doing outside of the gym that's going to make a huge difference. And supplements, like just have an apple or two a day, right? Or have a shake that has lettuce spinach in it or something like that gets you your vegetables. You know, that mixed with sleep, I think would help out a lot with stress and anxiety. And it's about what you're putting into your body. And I think even working out or movement on our list is like of importance is literally number five.
Sure.
We believe in number one is nutrition, what you're putting in your body, what you need out. Number two is sleep, just like you said. Number three is meaningful relationships. You know, having those in your life and making sure you're taking advantage of like the person next to you that supports you, just making sure you're grateful for that. And then number four is mindset, or being mindful, learning mindfulness and understanding that everybody has feelings. They run through you, let yourself experience it, try not to fight it and just let yourself live in the moment. We talk a lot about mindfulness. And then number five is training for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom on the list. But that bottom one on the list usually gets all the other four starting to think about and starting to go.
Right.
So, I mean, we talk about all we ask for people that have never done fitness before is 3 days a week.
Okay.
You know, as long as we can get you in 3 days a week for the first 2 weeks to a month, I mean, everything is going to tumbleweed. For example, you know, you work out that day, maybe you're not going to choose the donut, you're going to choose the smoothie, you know? And that small victory is going to all of a sudden start stacking on top of each other. And then it's going to turn into asking questions about, hey, how do I track my macronutrients, you know, or something like that? Or, hey, what's this Whoop all about that talks about sleep, you know, and that's where we want to get to. But it always starts just being consistent. Just come to the gym and everything else will follow,
right?
You know? Yeah. So that's all also what we like to talk about with a lot of people coming in. So.
Well, there you go, right? There's your there's your $5,000 health and wellness plan. Derek just summed it up for you in five steps, and
yeah,
it is. It's right there. We just gotta do the damn thing now.
Yeah. How do you talk about sleep, or how do you help people improve sleep? I'm interested to hear.
So there's kind of, I start with like the bare essentials, right? So first thing, bedroom for sleep and sex only, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Temperature control at night. There's a lot of research behind lower 60s. And,
really?
Yep. And how many people are actually keeping their house or their whatever at, you know, 62, 63 while they sleep? Probably not a lot. And then I think we're getting more awareness about the effects of the screens, you know, and the lighting. So trying to avoid, really tough for a lot of people again, but trying to avoid screens, alcohol, within 2 hours of sleep.
Right? Yeah.
And both of those are tough because a lot of people are, I'm going to check out at the end of the day. Let me do this right before bed.
Right.
Or if we're going to have a cocktail, whatever, you know, that's usually shortly before bed. So it's, those are kind of the three bare essentials that I start with. I think the first one's common sense. The second one's maybe not thought or not known enough. And the third one's probably the hardest one to break.
Yeah. 100%.
I think too, you know, there's a lot about consistent wake time. So I think there for a while people were thinking going to bed at the same time, but I think there's a lot for a consistent wake time. And it's kind of like what you talked about with exercise being at the bottom. If you start with that, everything else kind of snowballs, right? Well, if you start with a consistent wake time, then everything else will kind of reverse itself and start to snowball that way. So those are some of the main things. But I mean, geez, you know, you have the calm app now. You have I really talked to a lot of people about box breathing, which is diaphragmatic breathing, just like with a pattern. So you know, you think about taking an inhale for 4 seconds, holding at the top for 4 seconds, exhaling for 4 seconds, then holding the bottom for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the simplest things, but you start affecting the vagal nerve, and that starts to turn the nervous system down and everything else. So there are some simple go-to strategies that you can go to, but in terms of, you know, consistency, it's gotta be sleep and sex only in the bedroom, avoiding the screens and the alcohol shortly before bed, and then, room temperature.
Yeah. That's awesome to hear about that room temperature. I've never heard that before, but I'd have to look into that. That's
pretty
cool.
I actually saw Kelly Starrett and his, you know, entrepreneurial world is like 17 products out there now, but he got like they call it a chili pad or something like that.
Mm.
Where you can actually
put like the pillow. Thing.
Well, so I think you put it on your mattress, or it's actually, you know, you put it on your mattress or underneath the sheet, and it's supposed to, you know, turn the body temperature down at night.
Yeah.
And I think I think it's an interesting idea. I think there's probably some merit to it, but most of us start by just trying to get the temperature dropped a little bit in your room.
Yeah. Whitney she bought these sheets, like the undersheet that goes under our comforter.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be, I don't know what it's woven with or whatever it is, but she was telling me it's supposed to help control your body temperature to help you feel cooler.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So it's interesting to see if that works, you know?
Yeah.
So that's interesting stuff. I like that.
Again, you know, some of the confirmation bias or the recency bias, but you know, I'm trying to track some of this stuff, and I always get better scores when I'm cooler at night, and you know, not in an unusual environment where it has to be warmer. I'm at a guest house or whatever, and if I control that temperature down a little bit, I actually do. Sure. I do really feel like I see better results.
Yeah.
So,
do you wear a Whoop?
I do. Yeah. I've been wearing it for a while, and again, it's like anything else. It's only useful if you take advantage of the information that you're getting, right?
Yeah.
So I know I work with athletes that will wear it, and they will still overtrain the snot out of themselves and not focus on recovery at all. So it's like, okay, well, there's your $30 a month for pretty much, you know, having some information, but you gotta actually listen to it and utilize it.
I used to wear one. Whitney, my wife, wears one. She loves it. So I have my personality. I kind of know it by hand now. So I get really obsessive over some stuff.
Yeah.
So a little bit about me. I'm obsessed about black holes. So I find everything on black holes right now and try to learn as much as I can. So right. I was before that. Before that, it was stars. Like, it's just weird stuff. But right. I wore a Whoop for a while. And I mean, I'll be laying down in bed, scrolling through my Whoop, wondering how I can make these better, you know? And it was almost, it was making me worse at what I was trying to get better at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just got too obsessed with it.
Well, and there you were on the screen again before bed too.
Exactly. Right. So I was like, this is making me worse. I mean, there were sometimes, and I'd be so addicted to looking at the score. And just like you said too, like I'd be in the red or something. And I'd be like, well, my body feels okay. I still got to do something, you know, and maybe an active recovery day or doing this will make it go up and blah, blah, blah. And like, it was just turning to be too much. So like, now I'm just going back to the old ways of like, I'm just going to do what's worked in the past for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I still love Whoop. Whoop. That information is like, we listen to the Whoop podcast as well and learn about that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So
it is. I love what they're doing. Yeah. They're doing a good job. All right, Derek. Well, I got my next client here, so I appreciate the time. Certainly I'd love to talk more. So I might have to get you back on here in 6 months to a year, kind of get some updates on your situation, how things are going. But let anybody that's listening know kind of where they can reach out to you and maybe some social handles and whatnot before we go, and then we'll put them in the show notes as well.
Yeah. If they wanted to shoot me an email, Derek@PackerlandCrossFit.com. If you want to find us on social media, we are at Packerland CrossFit. So Packerland_CrossFit. And then our Facebook, just search on the handle Packerland CrossFit and we'll pop up. I love answering questions. I love it when people reach out just to ask and, you know, what we're all about. And we do what we call no sweat intros. It's basically you come in 15-minute conversation before we do this with everybody.
Yep.
Come in, ask questions, talk about your goals, basically talk about you and what you want to do, you know, and show you around the place and try to create a starting plan for you to Perfect. Make sure that you stay consistent. So we're all about the individual. You're not just a number.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Thank you so very much for your time today. I learned quite a bit. I'm going to go back and listen to those five keys. You got it like a TED talk on that right there, I think, if you want to take it and run with it. So appreciate it, Derek. Hope you have a great weekend, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Modus RX audio experience. If you would like more information on how to run through a pain to performance transformation in your life, then please go to our website, modusrx.com. That's modusrx.com. And there you can find free guides and helpful information to help you live a healthier, more active lifestyle. And until next time, this is Eric Wallace, and this is the Modus RX audio experience.